Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm really glad that Tim and Billings missed it. Earlier this morning, I shared a DailyWire.com story on X, and it's this hilarious song. And those of you that are from Canada, those of our Alberta friends that are in the Flathead Valley right now, you're going to love this song in particular. So Justin Trudeau is on the ropes. Justin Trudeau may finally be removed as the prime minister. You know, the pretty little prime minister up there in Canada, the dictator Justin Trudeau may finally be removed from power in Canada. But this may be the song that finally does him in. This is the lead singer of a band called Five for Fighting, and he put this song together in honor of Justin Trudeau, the pretty little prime minister, the dictator in Canada.
Justin Trudeau wants you to know played hockey. Justin Trudeau has got to go. Stand clear, he never played hockey. Totalitarian parliamentarians, they have no mind to skate. Their only love, their hate. They'll freeze your bank account. They won't mount to trample on your rights like Fidel. Justin Trudeau is rather slow. It's too bad he never played hockey like the great one.
Anyway, great song. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, you can see that full song put together by the lead singer of a band called Five for Fighting. The DailyWire.com has the full story as well. On Outnumbered on Fox, before we get to some other stories here, including this big one out of the Montana Supreme Court, Outnumbered on Fox News, they also tore in to Justin Trudeau.
We were supposed to be on a steady, if difficult sometimes, march towards progress. And yet, just a few weeks ago, the United States voted for a second time to not elect its first woman president. Everywhere, women's rights and women's progress is under attack, overtly and subtly. But I want you to know that I am, and always will be, a proud feminist. You will always have an ally in me and in my government.
Well, he seems very proud of himself right there. I mean, Kennedy, could a counterpunch get any lamer?
No, I watched that and I went, wow, Justine Trudeau. What
Governor of the year.
What brand of tampons do you use? I'm such a proud feminist.
Ask Tim Walz.
My goodness. Ooh, I'm trembling with fear. Please don't invade us with your soy boyness.
grab your soy lattes. We'll be back with your phone calls and more right here with Montana Talks right after this. Yeah, if you didn't know he didn't play hockey before, you know now, don't you?
Securing America.
The Pentagon released its annual China Military Power Report Wednesday. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Dr. Mike Chase on the advances China has made.
The modernization and expansion of its nuclear force, as well as the investments they're making in space, cyberspace, and electronic warfare.
Assistant Secretary of Defense Dr. Eli Ratner on why China matters so much.
The PRC remains the only country in the world with both the will and increasingly the capability to alter the international order in its favor.
The report states China continues to increase its nuclear arsenal, but adds it has significant problems with corruption and the quality of its military personnel, including commanders. Ratner says,
there are areas in which the United States is taking actions that is making those deficiencies or those vulnerabilities even more pronounced.
Both say military leaders from the U.S. and China need to speak more regularly. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Do you get food delivered to your house here in Montana through popular food delivery services like Uber Eats or DoorDash? Watch out. This, according to a former FBI Hispanic gang expert who lives in Bozeman, Montana. He says this is a tactic sometimes used by the violent Venezuelan prison gang known as Tren de Aragua. That full story, the audio as well of our conversation, go to MontanaTalks.com and get the app on your smartphone.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, now we can blame Canada all day long. We can mock the pretty little Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, this dictator in Ottawa, all we want. But we've got some petty little tyrants in our own backyard right here in Montana, don't we? And of course, we're talking about what has been the continued trend line here. The radical left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. All right, real quickly, before I get into that, I got a bunch of great messages that have come in on the Montana Talks app. I'll try to share as many of those as I can here on the show this morning. Plus, we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Just give us a few minutes to get out the news and the reactions on this Montana Supreme Court ruling first, and then we'll start jumping into your phone calls here. But you can call in right now and get in the queue, though, and we'll get to you here in a few minutes. But one message I got, this came from Pam, and I'm not sure where Pam is listening from this morning, but Pam said this: I heard Congressman Ryan Zinke will be on your show this morning. Please ask him his stand on the monstrosity of the CR funding bill and if he will be supporting it. Thank you. Thank you, Pam. Yes, that'll be the first topic to come up. You can, of course, count on that. As Congressman Ryan Zinke joins us in the next hour of the show, we're going to do a statewide town hall meeting with Montana's Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke coming up next hour of the show. So that's when we'll talk a lot more about this, you know, funding battle and how can we best. The bigger question is really what Stephen Miller laid out last night, which is how do we best set up President Trump and the next Congress for success? How do we remove any landmines that the Democrats might be trying to put in place? And then on top of that, you know, not fund this craziness that the Democrats are trying to jam in there at the last minute. So we'll get to that more coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. Here's a couple of headlines for you here with yet another outrageous decision from these petty tyrants on the Montana Supreme Court, these radical left-wing activists that run the Montana Supreme Court. A few headlines first here. Where did I have them? I just had them. Here we go. From the Liberal Associated Press, global warming can't be ignored, Montana's top court says. upholding landmark climate case. From the Montana Television Network, the Montana Supreme Court upholds the Held v. Montana climate case ruling. In a 6-1 ruling, Montana's High Court ruled the public's right to a clean and healthful environment under Montana's Constitution was violated when the state legislature passed a law removing the impacts of greenhouse gas emissions from environmental reviews under the Montana Environmental Policy Act. Chief Justice Mike McGrath, who of course is a former Democrat Attorney General, authored the opinion. And we've got reactions already coming in here that I'll share with you here. What's the big picture here? This case is a joke. This is the Climate Kids lawsuit. We've covered this in depth here on this show. This type of a lawsuit has been laughed out of every other court in the country because it's so laughable. What they want to do, they want to force climate alarmist agenda into every decision-making possible in our state government. They also want to inject climate alarmist decisions into the Public Service Commission. That's another case that they're pursuing. These radical environmentalists want to inject the climate alarmist agenda into every single decision coming out of our state government. I mean, think about the enormous ramifications this could have. These are decisions that should be made by the legislature, by our lawmakers, not by a bunch of petty little tyrants wearing black robes who want to act like legislators. We got reaction here from Senate President-elect Matt Regeer out of Kalispell and the incoming Speaker of the House for the Montana House of Representatives, Brandon Lear, out of Savage, Montana. I think both of their reactions are included in this one unified statement here.
It's unfortunate for the people of Montana that the Montana Supreme Court today turned the courtroom into a legislative policy committee hearing, drastically overstepping its constitutional boundaries into the legislature's role and violating separation of powers. Montanans will continue to suffer decades of economic harm and social harm if we don't turn this activist and overreaching courts around.
Judicial reform was already a top priority for Republican lawmakers in our legislative session coming up in less than 3 weeks. After today, our message is simple to the judiciary. Buckle up.
Buckle up. I love that message there from Brandon Lear. I just wish he had his cowboy hat on when he told them that message. Great message there. Keep it simple. I had a similar response yesterday on X, and I had the same reaction to this as I've had to several of their other insane reactions. You know, this is the same liberal Montana Supreme Court that just said that kids should be allowed, that parents should be allowed to chop body parts off of their own kids in the name of this radical transgender agenda. And I said this, keep poking the people of Montana in the eye. Keep poking the people of Montana in the eye with these crazy, outrageous, absurd decisions, because the people of Montana, obviously, you know, they've woken up when it comes to congressional elections and the Senate elections and everything else. But the people of Montana need to be woken up to the bias and the corruption in our judiciary with some, not all, with some of these district court judges and with, frankly, right now, every single one of these folks on the Montana Supreme Court. I mean, even if you dissented in the Held v. Montana case, what the heck is wrong with you on some of these others? All right, we'll get to your phone calls and more. Plus, I've got a reaction from Governor Gianforte and Senator Daines as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's an old cartoon that comes to mind as we hear proposals to address government efficiency for the incoming Trump administration. It shows Moses coming down from the mountain with a stone tablet, reading off the Ten Commandments. So far, so good, one man in the back says to another. He hasn't mentioned gays yet. This will likely be plenty of big ideas coming out of the new Department of Government Efficiency, and many of us will applaud them. But what will we say when the reforms hit a target we ourselves benefit from? Social Security, farm programs, Amtrak, even public radio. The right-leaning Cato Institute put out a list of recommendations for efficiency, and it's a bit longer than the Ten Commandments. I counted 211 specific actions in the document, and a few were small potatoes. The elimination of agencies, privatizing, giving public land to states. Many were excellent ideas, and you could say the fact that the list is so long underscores just how bad things have become. I'm Patrick Barkey.
brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was a time back when Matt Gaetz was Donald Trump's pick for attorney general, where the hottest media story around was, would the House ethics report, the investigation that the lawmakers did into all of these sexual and other accusations against Congressman Gaetz, be released? But then, in order to get around that, Gaetz resigned and gave up his bid to become AG. But now it turns out that the House Ethics Committee had a secret vote and now does plan to release the report. And that's been big breaking news banners all over the place. But Gaetz is no longer a member of Congress. What would be the point now of releasing it, except to perhaps shed more light on what he did and did not do, at least according to the investigators. And that's why the media are all excited about this pending release. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here's a couple more reactions on this Hell v. Montana case and this ruling. This just laughable ruling, this outrageous ruling from the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. Governor Greg Gianforte said this, issued this statement following the Montana SUPCO ruling. While we are reviewing the decision from the Montana Supreme Court, we know that what its impact will be. Perpetual lawsuits that will waste taxpayer dollars and drive up energy bills for hardworking Montanans. This court continues to step outside of its lane to tread on the right of the legislature, the elected representatives of the people, to make policy. This decision does nothing more than declare open season on Montana's all of the above approach to energy, which is key to providing affordable and reliable energy to homes, schools, and businesses across our state. Yeah, they basically, what they're trying to do with this Climate Kids lawsuit, where they used these kids, you know, these kids of these rich white liberals as human shields in their war against American energy, or let's put it more clearly, this is a war against Montana energy. They want to have veto power over anything. They can say, oh, nope, can't do that. Oh, climate change. Oh, can't do that. Ah, greenhouse gases. Everything we do in life emits carbon dioxide. I mean, when they want to drive their kids to Missoula to chop off their body parts for their transgender operation, is that a violation of the right to clean and healthful environment? I mean, when Fussy Bussy, Ryan Bussy, was running as the Democrat candidate for governor, he could have picked up the phone and called into Montana Talks. But no, he wanted to drive all the way from, you know, from his house 7 hours away to come to our Montana Talk studios. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, yeah, good to see you. Hop in the chair. You know, you could call in any day of the week. Why did you have to burn all that carbon dioxide? See, these climate hypocrites want to do everything. It's just like they fly their private jets all over the place. You know, all these climate activists, they're flying their private jets. See, it's okay for them. But if you do it to haul your cattle, if you do it to keep the lights on, oh, no, that's the world's going to end. And so that's why they push this absurd climate lawsuit. It's so that they can block anything they want to block, which is typically your job. And the other reaction here I've got comes from Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. He said, today's ruling by the Montana Supreme Court is egregious. The court is once again legislating from the bench. This decision will gut Governor Gianforte's made-in-Montana energy policy, crush energy production, and stifle economic development in Montana. That was the reaction from Senator Steve Daines. Let's go into the phone lines. We've got, let's see, who do we got? We've got a couple callers on the line, and we got phone lines open for you as well, 294-0970. Let's go to Chris in Martinsdale first up. Chris, what's going on?
Oh, wow. I sure like what you're saying, but
I need to change the subject, and I'll tell you why.
That's all right.
I'm getting very bad reception, and all I could get was you on the phone here now. But I know that you can't control it. I've been told you can't control it, but you should know. Last week alone, my husband kind of like 19 different stations coming from Canada, invading our airspace or electrical space or whatever it is that you receive in. And, you know, he even had the locations and everything. And somehow we're getting invaded by strong telegraphing from Canada, and it's interfering for him. I can't get
interesting
on the radio.
So you're getting all these Canadian radios. You're getting all these Canadian radio signals, but then yeah. Having trouble picking up Montana signals. Yeah, well,
right.
I know that Martinsdale area. You're kind of in that. You're right in that middle of that gap there where okay, do you get Helena? Do you get Billings? Do you get Great Falls? It's kind of tough. But yeah, that's interesting. When here's Canada, which is cracking down on all of their media. Almost all of their media is state-run media. They're mouthpieces for the Trudeau regime, and he's trying to control social media and allowing what can and can't be said there. But boy, they sure want to push their message down here in the United States of America. That's interesting.
They're invading more than our gun shows, you betcha.
Well said.
Question, a second thing I wanted to address, so this is an important one for me, but it was from the news today, and the 1,500 pages of Congress won't, you know, get together, and they're talking about closing down the government and blah, 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 and they close our parks instead of their government and secretaries and aides and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, I have a solution to that, because who can read? I could read maybe 100 pages a day. 1,500, that puts you to the end of the year. It's over, you know. So what are they going to do? They're going to compromise on all kinds of stuff, and one of them is like the closing down investigative committees and stopping Trump's ability to do anything next year. So we really want him to stay and finish this bill. Why don't they just reduce it to 100 pages that anybody can read in a day and pick out the important stuff, and they all can read it too, and make an agreement on just important stuff to keep the government functioning.
See, that's common sense. You should run for Congress there, Chris, because that's common sense stuff. That's basically what former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich said on Jesse Waters' program last night. He said, look, it's outrageous, the stuff that's being jammed into this CR, the cramnibus, as some are referring to it. Before I talk about what Gingrich had to say, for those of you who missed it, let's see, Vivek Ramaswamy, he says he actually read this bill. He read the 1,500 pages of this last-minute spending bill, and here's his summary.
Congress is about to pass a bill that blows away your taxpayer money, but they made it over 1,500 pages long so you wouldn't read it. I did you a favor. I read it for you.
It's supposed to be about keeping government operations open and providing disaster relief aid to hurricane victims, which I'm sympathetic to. But if you read the bill carefully, it contains pay raises for members of Congress, and I'm not making this up, an expansion of their federal health benefits. It contains all kinds of special interests and pork funding, including opening up a new stadium in Washington, D.C. It renews the Global Engagement Center, which is a key node of the censorship industrial complex. And the worst part is, they didn't want you to know about any of it, and that's why they made this a last-minute jam job. The reason I'm co-heading DOGE is I think we need outsiders to bring actual accountability to Washington, D.C. So feel free to call your congressman and let him know how you feel about it.
All right, and of course, help is on the way. The new Senate will be sworn in January 3rd, and we'll have some new members of Congress as well. And then, of course, Donald J. Trump sworn in as president January 20th. Congressman-elect, Representative-elect Troy Downing, who will be the Eastern Congressional District Representative. I just saw a tweet that he sent out. This actually came out last night. Yeah, about 5:30 last night. Troy Downing saying this, jamming a 1,500-plus page bill through the House in the 11th hour merely kicks the can down the road for the incoming administration to deal with. The last CR, continuing resolution, was 21 pages. It's time to go back to the drawing board so that Republicans can hit the ground running in 2025. So that was the tweet sent out by Troy Downing, the congressman-elect for the Eastern Congressional District. Back into the phone lines we go. We got Lee in Kalispell. Lee, what's on your mind?
Yes,
Merry Christmas, Aaron.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you as well. Yeah.
Yes, this deals with 1-6, and the Democrats trying to pass a bill that exempts them from any of their emails being looked at. Now, my question is, about 20 or 30 years ago, it might be a little bit more than that, the congressmen all signed a bill saying they'd obey all laws in the United States. Now, all of a sudden, they want to change the laws. Now, as far as I know, just for the Democrats, so they are exempt from anybody ever getting a hold of their emails. My question is, what's in it so bad that they want to change the law to protect themselves?
Well, we know the answer to that. So Liz Cheney in particular would be protected. Yeah, apparently there's a provision that got jammed into this 1,500-page spending bill that would basically provide, it would basically shield and give a pass to any of the Democrats or Liz Cheney for you know, destroying evidence, for witness tampering, for everything they did with their Soviet-style show trial against Donald J. Trump regarding January 6th. They want to destroy evidence, witness tamper. They want to straight up lie. And now they're trying to shield themselves from accountability by tucking it into a last-minute spending bill. That alone is a reason to go back to the drawing board, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right, Lee, great to hear from you. Thanks for bringing up that angle as well. 406-294-0970 is the number. I never mentioned what Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, what he basically had to say on Jesse Waters' program last night is basically what one of our listeners said, what I think Chris just said there, is, okay, strip this thing down, keep it clean, keep it a clean continuing resolution just to get us through when Donald Trump and the new Senate and the new House are sworn in next month, and then they can start to tackle everything. But it's very obvious at this point that the Democrats are doing everything they possibly can to jam every single one of their wish list items through during the lame duck session. Look, I said this after November 7th, I think we were talking about this already on this show, that this lame duck session of Congress is where you really have to keep your eye on the ball, because that's where they're going to try to shove all these things in at the last minute. And that's what the Democrats are trying to do here. $60,000 pay raise, shielding Liz Cheney and the rest of these crooks from the accountability that they should be facing for their lies and their witness tampering and their destruction of evidence in these Soviet-style show trials and much more. So that's why a lot of people out there are saying either shut it down and wait till Donald Trump comes in to get things back on track, or just strip it down. So let's sum it up, since I got 15 seconds to go before the break here. Strip it down or shut it down, but don't fund this woke BS and some of this other stuff that's in it. That's what the American people, I think, are clearly saying right now. All right, more callers after this. Brett's on.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So one question people might have is, well, what's going to change come January with the House of Representatives? Okay, so you've got President Trump. That's going to be huge. That's going to be great. You've got, you know, Republicans taking over the U.S. Senate come January 3rd, right around the corner. Okay, that's going to be huge, right? That's going to fundamentally change the dynamics here as well. But when it comes to the House of Representatives, what's going to change there? Or we're going to be stuck with the same old, where Republicans don't unite and get into the fight. Instead, you got a handful of Freedom Caucus people over here that won't sign off on anything. And then you got a handful of moderates over here that are too willing to compromise everything. So whether it's Mike Johnson as Speaker or anybody else, what do you do when you can't herd these cats? That's why I think President Trump and Uncle Elon, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, the fact that they weighed in and you saw an immediate impact, that shows that reinforcements are on the way. And I think it's going to be a positive development for Mike Johnson as Speaker, or if they decide to go with somebody else for Speaker. Some of you would disagree, and I know Jill in Billings disagrees with me. I believe I agree with former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich when it comes to this spending bill. Strip it down. Strip it down to a clean CR. Get disaster aid out. Get, you know, other things out, you know, support, you know, the things that strip it down to what actually matters. And now Democrats probably won't do it. The Senate Democrats will probably block that because they don't want to pass a farm bill. They don't want to give disaster aid to, you know, Stillwater miners that were laid off or North Carolina storm victims. They don't want to do that. They know that you want to do that. They know that we want to do that. So they'll say, well, we will only do what the American people need if you give us all this other garbage over here. So that's why people are saying either strip it down or shut it down. So hopefully Republicans can strip it down, put forward a clean CR, and but that's going to take every single Republican being on the same page. And unfortunately, the Freedom Caucus has kind of been leadershipless. They've been rudderless here lately. And so would they even get, would some of their members even get on board with a strip it down, clean it up type of CR? But that's what people are saying, strip it down or shut it down. And so, and then you get us in, and then you know, anyway, I digress. But I made the point that Speaker Johnson is dealing with the cards that he's been dealt here. Look, Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan's incredible. Jim Jordan, it was so great seeing him in the Flathead Valley. He was at a campaign event for Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke in the Flathead this summer, and I got a chance to MC that event. And remember when we thought that Jim Jordan was going to be the Speaker of the House? Yeah, that would have been great. But even if Jim Jordan was the Speaker of the House right now, if you still got a handful of moderate, squishy Republicans going this way and compromising everything, and then you got a handful of Freedom Caucus folks over here that won't sign on to anything, what do you do when you've got such a slim majority? We're still going to have a very slim majority heading into January with the new session. However, I think that's where Elon, Uncle Elon and Vivek and Donald J. Trump are the big game changers, because I think Donald Trump, he's now shown by speaking out yesterday that he will hold Republicans accountable to say, hey, do not sign on to this stuff. Don't tie me down with a debt ceiling hike in the first few months of my administration. Don't set these ticking time bombs up that are going to go off when I'm the president, right? But I think on the other flip side of this, I think he will also hold some of the other House Republicans accountable to say, look, guys, you got to sign off on something. There is too slim of a majority here. You can't just sit back and say no to everything and grandstand and say, look at how great I am. You can't just grandstand in virtue signal. You've got to deliver. So eventually, you've got to deliver something other than just, look at me and how great I am. I say no to everything. Well, lottie frickin' da. You've got to deliver. And I think that's what Donald Trump's going to help whoever the Speaker of the House is do, is help them deliver by holding all the factions' feet to the fire. Let's go to Greg in Great Falls. Greg, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Hi, Aaron. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Question, with the CR and this increase in congressional pay, does that become retroactive? And does John Tester get a pay boost before he leaves Senate?
Oh, probably.
Doesn't that affect his retirement also?
Oh, probably. Yeah, probably. I mean, would it surprise you if he negotiated himself a nice little boost in his retirement pay before he leaves office? You notice how he's apparently leaving the Crow tribe high and dry, though. You know, he's during the election, he was, oh, yeah, I support the Crow Revenue Act. Oh, yeah, I support the Crow people. Now, he didn't even show up for Montana Coffee yesterday. They do Montana Coffee every Wednesday. He's the senior senator. He's supposed to be the host of it. He's not even showing up. You know, but oh, I'll bet you he'll show up to vote for his own pay raise when push comes to shove, won't he?
Right. Well, Merry Christmas to Congress, I guess, if they get this thing through. I'll tell you. It's ridiculous. I'm against the whole thing. It's a mess.
I hear you. Yeah, so thanks to Jill in Billings for sending us a message on the Montana Talks app. Yeah, she disagrees with my comment where I said that, you know, Speaker Johnson is dealing the hand he's been dealt. And I think we are going to see a big change come January. But anyway, Jill in Billings says, no, he hasn't had a backbone since he was named the speaker. I would slightly disagree with that. I would say he hasn't had the backing since he was named speaker. Neither did the speaker before him. And if anybody else was named speaker, even the great Jim Jordan, they wouldn't have had the backing they needed either. We've had way too many people grandstanding on one side of the House Republican caucus, and then way too many compromising it on the other side of the Republican caucus. And so that's why I believe that he has been dealing with the cards that he has been dealt here. Newt Gingrich, let me see. So earlier I shared a soundbite from Newt Gingrich where he talked about, hey, strip it down, pass a clean CR. Now, I don't know if I'm queuing this up in the right spot or not, but Jesse Waters at the end of the segment with former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, who actually balanced the budget when he was Speaker of the House, by the way. It can be done. It was done when Newt was Speaker. Jesse Waters said, look, I'm not pro-Johnson. I'm not anti-Johnson. But, you know, something's got to change come January. Something to that effect. So I don't know if I queued this soundbite up in the right spot or not. Let's see.
President Biden is nowhere to be seen.
No.
He's gone.
He's gone.
The functioning president of the United States today is Donald Trump because the other guy left.
All right. Well, then Trump's got to knock some heads together because it looks like they're going to throw Johnson overboard. And, you know, I want to have a good January. And I'm not pro-Johnson, not Johnson. I don't care. No, I just want action.
Let me just say, Jesse, I'm very pro-Johnson. I can't imagine what he goes through with a one or two or three vote majority.
Oh, it's an impossible job. I don't
Johnson's
know why he wanted
the
job.
Problem.
It's a crazy job. You're crazy for taking it. It worked out for you because you shut the government down a couple times, so good. But no one wants to do that anymore, and now look where we are. McCarthy's out. Johnson could be out. They're going to have to bring you out of retirement. I'm going to lose a guest. It's not going to be good for everybody. Speaker Gingrich, have a Merry Christmas.
Anyway, that was a great little closing there with Hannity. But, yeah, what Gingrich was saying was, like, look, Speaker Johnson isn't the problem. The problem is you got factions within the Republican caucus that don't want to unite. Like I said, you got some that will compromise away anything, and then you got others that won't sign on to anything. And so you never have the votes to ever truly get the big fight across the finish line. All right, let's go back into the phone lines here. State Senator Brad Molnar, who will soon be the Public Service Commissioner once again. Brad, great to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me on. I wanted to chime in on the
Oh, I think you hung up accidentally. That was you, not me. Brad, call back in if you're listening on the radio. I think you accidentally hung up on your smartphone there. That'll happen from time to time. So call back in. But, yeah, I want to get his take. I think he's going to give us his thoughts on the Held v. Montana case. Okay, looks like he's calling back in right now. What we'll do, Brad, we will get to you right after the break. Yeah, because I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this. Yeah, for those of you maybe just tuning in, about 20 minutes ago, we were talking about the Held v. Montana climate case. That is the Climate Kids lawsuit. It was a laughable lawsuit. It was thrown out of every other court in the country, but the left-wing mob in our judicial system here in Montana, of course, you know they're going to push it. You know the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court is going to side with this, climate kids lawsuit nonsense. All right, so stand by. We'll go back to Brad Molnar right after this.
Oh, here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The magnitude of problems that he is inheriting are massive. It's sort of like you have a boat taken on water. You got to plug up the hole. Well, we got to stop the illegal immigrants, unvetted, from coming into this country. We got to get that wall up fast. And we've got over 12.5 million, if you look at the illegals that were here before, people that didn't respect our laws, borders, sovereignty, including known terrorists, including cartel members, gang members, murderers, rapists, other violent criminals that have been, wreaking havoc all across the country. We've got to find them. We've got to remove them. I mean, how do we find the terrorists that we know are in the country? What do you think they're doing? We know what they're doing. They're plotting, they're planning, they're scheming. That is a monumental task.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
So the FBI, they call it house stealing. I've been telling you about this for over a year. It is a huge problem. If you own a home, if you own any real estate, it is crucial you protect your property and your equity from these criminals. Now, I've arranged for you, my listeners, to have 50% off home title locks, triple lock protection. Now, you will immediately be protected. You'll get 50% off when you use the promo code Hannity. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Hannity. That's HomeTitleLock.com.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated in the best hearing aids of 2024 by USA Today, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, just $189.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 500,000 happy customers by going to AudionHearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N Hearing.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's an old cartoon that comes to mind as we hear proposals to address government efficiency for the incoming Trump administration. It shows Moses coming down from the mountain with a stone tablet, reading off the Ten Commandments. So far, so good, one man in the back says to another. He hasn't mentioned gays yet. This will likely be plenty of big ideas coming out of the new Department of Government Efficiency, and many of us will applaud them. But what will we say when the reforms hit a target we ourselves benefit from? Social Security, farm programs, Amtrak, even public radio. The right-leaning Cato Institute put out a list of recommendations for efficiency, and it's a bit longer than the Ten Commandments. I counted 211 specific actions in the document, and a few were small potatoes. The elimination of agencies, privatizing, giving public land to states. Many were excellent ideas, and you could say the fact that the list is so long underscores just how bad things have become. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
The Pentagon released its annual China Military Power Report Wednesday. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Dr. Mike Chase on the advances China has made.
The modernization and expansion of its nuclear force, as well as the investments they're making in space, cyberspace, and electronic warfare.
Assistant Secretary of Defense Dr. Eli Ratner on why China matters so much.
The PRC remains the only country in the world with both the will and increasingly the capability to alter the international order in its favor.
The report states China continues to increase its nuclear arsenal, but adds it has significant problems with corruption and the quality of its military personnel, including commanders. Ratner says
there are areas in which the United States is taking actions that is making those deficiencies or those vulnerabilities even more pronounced.
Tiffany Uretzky, Fox News.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of this show, we've got Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke for our statewide town hall meeting. Tomorrow, we've been talking about the Held v. Montana, the Climate Kids lawsuit. Tomorrow, Rob Nadelson just authored a piece at the Independence Institute website. Here's the headline, The Lesson from Montana. Stop judicial usurpation before it becomes too late. Former University of Montana constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson will join us in this 8 o'clock hour of the show tomorrow right here on Montana Talks. We've got Brad Molnar back on the phone lines. Brad, sorry we lost you before the break, but yeah, what's your take on this Supreme Court ruling?
Well, Aaron, I've been up since 6 o'clock reading that thing, and it is absolutely goofy, but and I have a solution on it. On Monday, I was with the Speaker and with the Senate President and with the Senate Majority Leader, and I told them what I thought would happen if Held passed, and I'm sure it would, and what happens if the PSC suffers a similar fate. And this new president said, okay, so what are your solutions? And I gave him a couple. Well, since then, I've got a new one. I've called in, and once I know if they're going to accept it or not accept it, either way, I'll call back and tell you what it was. But it does solve the problem. On the in-between, I think we need to recognize that they waited until after the election.
Oh, good
that
point.
That passed 5-3. If we already had our new Supreme Court justice on there, it would be 5-3 the other way. If they had ruled prior, it would be 5-2. This is an extremely politically timed ruling. So the votes and the timing are extremely important, but of effect for your listeners, it's the votes. 2,000 fewer people voted in the race for Wilson. They skipped it. That's your margin. Why would you skip it? I ask that for each person to answer.
I think a lot of people just don't know. They don't know when it comes to these Supreme Court elections and these judicial races. And part of that is because, you know, there's no partisan identifier. So you got Democrats pretending to be nonpartisan. And then they have a whole pile of out-of-state money propping up their campaigns. So people hear the name over and over again. And then they get this fake, false message that of somebody pretending to be a moderate or a nonpartisan jurist, when in reality they're a far-left Democrat. And that's why you get far-left Democrats that get elected to the Montana Supreme Court or get elected as judges, even in a state that went 60% for practically every other Republican on the statewide ballot, right? And then now they're trying to shut everything down with this radical climate decision.
I respectfully disagree. Swanson got 2,000 more votes cast in that election than the next one for Wilson. They voted for Corey. They did not vote for Wilson. Or Wilson's opponent.
Well, but Corey's also a little bit more well-known. I mean, he worked for the former attorney general. He's this, you know, sitting county attorney in some high-profile cases. He's a National Guard colonel. I think that helped as well. But what's your take then on why Wilson didn't get the support when – I also think he had a much worse candidate to run against. I mean, Lynch was just a horrible candidate, whereas Bidegary was a woman. She claimed to be this moderate from eastern Montana when she was nothing of the sort.
I think he lost because he didn't get enough votes. 2,000 people didn't vote. All the rest of it is speculation. That's the one thing we know.
But he lost by more than 2,000 votes, though, right?
Huh?
He lost by more than 2,000 votes, right?
2,000 fewer people voted in that race than in Swanson's race.
Yeah.
That is what we have to somehow, exit polling or whatever, get a grip on.
Well, I think conservatives need to step it up and raise the money, start a super PAC to go after these Supreme Court candidates, which is what they haven't done in the past. Thanks for the call. Coming up on Thursday's Montana Talks, Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke from the Western Congressional District. We're going to wrap up the 2024 year in review and look ahead to 2025. Republicans still hold the House. They take back the Senate and Donald Trump president once again. You know, Zinke served in Trump's cabinet, so it's going to be great to get his insight on Thursday's Montana Talks with Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke. Taking your calls and more.